taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. Part of being free involves taking responsibility for your own actions and your own decisions, which opened up an interesting question for me the other day. Who can you trust? Or maybe, who do you trust? See, Ronald Reagan once said, we need to trust but verify. Because simply putting trust in someone or something leaves you exposed, leaves you open to control from that. We need to learn to trust and verify, to recognize that it's not enough to simply say, well, I trust this or I trust that. I trust this party. I trust this newspaper. I trust this politician. I trust anything. There are very few things that you should trust implicitly, and most of them are stuff we don't generally think about day in and day out. So I want to look at some things today and ask that question. Who do you trust? Now, we want to trust our elections. I mean, we live in a republic, and for a republic to function, we must have elections to choose our representatives, and they really need to be open, free, and fair. We've been told to even question the 2020 election as somehow seditious or an insurrection. But when we look at the audits, I find two interesting things. One is the number of people who don't want an audit performed. Now, an audit is not necessarily a search for malfeasance. An audit's a verification. Many years ago, I was in charge of the finances at a church, and every year, my books were audited. Independent people came in, and they went through the books, and they double-checked things, and they added up things, and they made me produce documentation to prove things. I wouldn't say it was a pleasant situation, but it was necessary in order for them to trust me. So when I hear people saying, well, you know, you shouldn't request an audit, or, you know, it's bad form to request an audit. No, I think every election should be audited just to make sure that the proper procedures are followed. Which is why I find it very interesting, the recent report on Arizona's audit of their 2020 election. Now, thing to remember is, in 2020, Joe Biden won the state of Arizona by 10,457 votes. Keep that number in mind. It is important. Now, one of the first things to understand is that according to Arizona law, there's a certain procedure for mail-in ballots. And it involves, you know, there's requirements that there be an affidavit signed and that signature be compared to the records on file to make sure that the vote is legitimate. And if the vote is, if there's no signature, if there's no affidavit, the vote is not to be counted. Now, in this report, they didn't go into whether or not the signature comparison with the voter registration was performed or performed properly. It did identify a number of missing signatures on ballot envelopes, although I don't seem to find a number. Now, what's interesting is while the report apparently doesn't elaborate details, a report done by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology engineer David Shiva Aduria, sorry if I mispronounced that, well, he detailed numerous anomalies. For example, his report found that there were 17,000 duplicate images of return envelopes. Now, when the duplicates were eliminated from review, there were 6,545 early voting return envelopes that did not exist. That's 6,500 envelopes or votes that should not have been counted. In another interesting twist, the law states that a ballot by mail must be mailed to the voters by first-class, non-forwardable mail, meaning it's got to be first-class mail, and that mail cannot be forwarded to if they have been moved. Yet The audit found over 15,000 mail-in votes in Maricopa County alone were from voters who had moved prior to the registration deadline. And another 6,591 came from voters who had moved out of Arizona prior to the registration deadline. And 1,718 voters who had moved within Arizona but out of Maricopa County before the registration deadline. Now, those numbers alone should be concerning. Because if there are 15,000, now, some of those votes, granted, 15,000, not all of them would be invalid. They may have moved, as I said, 1,700 had people who had moved outside of Maricopa County but still lived in Arizona. So those numbers would still be counted. But it shows problems, and these problems should be concerning, not because necessarily because of its impact on the 2020 election. That is a concern. The second, how do we keep it from happening in the future? Which reminds me of the fact that California now is doing 100% mail-in balloting. The exact opposite of what you would expect after seeing Arizona, a nearby state, having such problems with their mail-in votes. But it seems California hasn't learned from Arizona. They want to go to universal mail-in voting. They want to make that permanent in the state. Now, this was put in place specifically because of the COVID scare. But now they want to make it permanent. A voting system that is open to a lot of potential fraud. I mean, just think about it. Your ballot, assuming that you get the ballot and that you get the proper ballot, and we're not even talking about people who may be voting twice, right? They mail in their ballot, then they show up and all the other stuff. But the ballot, from the time you fill it out to the time it gets counted, is out of your hands, potentially for days. And this is what you're going to trust your selection of your employees to. I don't know about you, but I don't trust it. But that's the direction California is going. We'll just do complete mail-in ballots from now on. Everybody gets a mail-in ballot. And then how are people supposed to trust the election in California? The most populous state in the union. Meaning not only are you dealing with hundreds, if not thousands, of state and county offices, but the largest electoral count for the selection of president. And we're supposed to trust that after the issues that were in the 2020 election and the 2021 attempted recall of Governor Newsom. How do you trust your elections? And if you can't trust your elections, how can you trust the people representing you in Sacramento or Washington, D.C. are the ones the people actually chose? How can you trust that? And when you destroy the trust in the election process, how does anybody trust the government that's where the offices are filled by that election process? See, the audit process is that verify, right? Remember, trust, but verify. That was Reagan's advice. So we can trust our elections, but we do need to verify them. And to the people in California who think now it's a great idea to just, we'll just throw stuff in the mail and what, not verify? What security is being put in place to prevent duplicate ballots, miscounting of ballots, mishandling of ballots, the outright theft of ballots, with the evidence, again, of the last two elections, both the 2020 election and the 2020 recall election? If I were a citizen of California, I wouldn't trust the election process, especially going to a universal mail-in election. So how do you trust if no one's going to verify? And if when they do verify, they don't learn from the verifications. In other words, if people don't want their elections verified, how can you trust that they are not acting poorly? Even if not actual active fraud or malfeasance, just I won it. I don't want to take a chance that something might overturn it. How do you trust that person? And then how do we trust law enforcement? See, now, what happened on January 6th, as best as I've heard described, without the hysteria and histrionics, is you had a demonstration about the malfeasance in the 2020 election. The fact that there was malfeasance by at least five states, well, I think the evidence is there. Five states had the process for choosing electors changed by someone other than the state legislature in direct violation of Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution. Now, during that, there's evidence that many people were allowed into the Capitol. I didn't say break in. They were allowed in by Capitol Police. There was evidence that a protester in the Capitol was shot and killed by a Capitol Police officer. I don't know, has that officer ever been named so that the family of the dead woman could have some redress of their grievance? And in all this, we've been told that, you know, well, it was a riot, it was an insurrection, it was an attempt to overthrow the government, and whatever you do, you know, it's the Proud Boys are after it, the Proud Boys are after it, except now we have this report that two of the supposed Capitol rioters were actually government informants, and that they admit there was no conspiracy by the Proud Boys. And in fact, the push that, you know, this is a riot by the is now falling apart as we find out that not only did the FBI know about it, they had infiltrated it. It wasn't a conspiracy, but the Proud Boys have been charged with conspiracy. So what do we do? How do you trust the FBI? Now, it's interesting. I had a visit from the FBI the other day. Has nothing to do with the Constitution study. I was subpoenaed to testify in a case. It has nothing to do with the radio or anything like that. But the FBI shows, there's nothing quite like getting a phone call from the FBI or having the FBI show up at your door. And it's funny because the gentlemen that showed up were very nice. They were very polite. But I was noticeably uncomfortable. Not because I had done anything wrong, but because I didn't want to be chatty with them. They were nice. They were asking about the property and the land and how long had you been here. They seemed like quite innocuous statements. But in the back of my head is this, don't get chatty with them. Because you never know where that goes. What happens when you can't trust law enforcement? When law enforcement is simply there to perform an administrative job, we're not talking, you know, they weren't here investigating a crime. They were simply dropping off some papers. But we can't trust them enough to just have a civil conversation. Now, again, my assumption is these seem to be very nice gentlemen. They were polite. They were considerate. I don't infer that they had any ulterior motives. But I can't trust that they didn't have ulterior motives. So I was, if not, I wasn't impolite, but I was made sure to not engage in extraneous conversation. And what happens when, you know, you can't simply trust what a government official says? You need documentation and paperwork. What does that say about the state of American society? When people stop trusting the institutions, not because they don't trust them anymore, but because the institutions have acted in such a way that people have a reason not to trust in them. And then how do you trust those in government when they so blatantly violate your rights? I mean, I've already talked about Biden's illegal, darn near treasonous, if not coup d'etat, in attempting to take over the running of American businesses, to completely blow out and ignore the Constitution and simply assume the powers of king. And now he's trying to convince more businesses to violate your rights. How do you trust that? How do you trust anyone? Because think about it. Not only do you have, okay, I can't trust President Biden because he has proven himself to be to be traitorous of his oath of office, to have completely violated his oath of office to destroy the, to ignore the Constitution, to assume to himself the powers of a king, and then to dictate to others how to live their lives. And now he turns around and says, well, you know, businesses ought to, more businesses ought to require mandates, COVID-19 mandates. So how can I walk into a business today and trust whether or not their conditions for entry, whether or not their business practices are actually their own, or if they're just being puppets and slaves of an out-of-control government in Washington? How do I know? How do I trust anyone anymore? Sure, if it's a small business and I know the owner, I'll walk in and say hello and I can talk with them. But let's face it, how many of those types of businesses do we do business with where you can actually trust the people you're dealing with? It's when I go to Walmart or Kroger or Lowe's, I'm not dealing with someone. I can't. How do I trust what's going on there? Maybe that's even a better reason to do businesses, to do business with businesses where you can talk to the owner, where you can know, you get to get a feeling of how trustworthy they are and how trustworthily they run their business. Because if all they're doing is following what the government mandates, what the government illegally dictates, well, how can I trust that COVID, the scaredemic, will ever be over? See, President Biden said he thinks we until we're done with this, we need 97 or 98% vaccination. Now, he admits he's not a scientist, but he's talking about 97 to 98% vaccinations. As I understand it, most medical professionals hover somewhere between 70 and 85% for herd immunity. Will this ever be over? When the rules keep changing, the goalposts keep moving, the standards keep changing, we went from 2 weeks to flatten the curve to now they're talking, you know, we have the President of the United States saying he wants 97 to 98% vaccination. Well, you know what, Mr. President? I really don't care what you want. You're just a petty tyrant. You're a bully. You are your character has been exposed to be worthless. So I really don't care, because I'm not getting vaccinated because you want me to, because you have proven yourself to be untrustworthy. As I like to say, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 10,000 times, I must be an American voter. How many times are you going to let these people fool us before we stop trusting what they say? That's what I want to know. See, if he wants, if the president says he's going to keep pushing these vaccine and these other COVID mandates until 98% of Americans are vaccinated, this is never over. The only way you get 98% of Americans vaccinated is if you round them up in camps. That's the only way. You're not going to get 98% of people to take this vaccine except by force. Do you really trust in your government to do that? Do you trust that President Biden won't use force to get his will? He's certainly willing to use political force. He's certainly willing to use the power of government force to get his will. Do you really trust that he will not use military or law enforcement force, the force of a gun, to compel you against your will to take this drug? I don't. He's done nothing to verify that I should trust in him. Nothing. Why should I trust anything? Why should I even give him? Why, you know, he's proven to be so doubtful. Why should I give him the benefit of the doubt? I see no doubt. He has, you know, every time he has talked about the rights of the American people, it seems to trample on them. There is no doubt, and there is no trust, not from me, but how many people will do exactly what President Biden wants? Well, he says we need 98%. Well, maybe it's not him. What about the CDC? You going to trust the CDC? The CDC that said the vaccine would keep you from getting COVID, now it says it doesn't keep you from getting COVID, it only keeps you from going to the hospital? Yeah, that CDC. The CDC that said that the Pfizer vaccine had been had passed its approval. It's now approved when it no such thing has ever happened. The Pfizer vaccine is still an emergency use authorization drug. The BioNTech variation, which is not available in the U.S., was given conditional approval. Are these the people you're going to trust? See, now they are recommending that there be urgent action for pregnant women to be vaccinated. I'm sorry, there is a level of incredulity that I'm beside myself. We do so many things. We work so hard to protect pregnant women, to not expose them to things that we either know or think might be dangerous. Here we have a drug with an unknown impact on developing children in the womb. We do not know. There has been no testing. They have not had time to test what happens to children in the womb when exposed to these drugs. But they are urging women to take these drugs. These are the same people that urged small children to get vaccinated when they have zero, when they have extremely low chance of serious illness or death, but they want them vaccinated anyway. Do you trust them? Do you trust the CDC? Do you trust the CDC that says the vaccines are safe when there have been, 12,000 or more deaths related to this? Do you trust the CDC when they admitted that 94% of the COVID deaths originally reported were deaths with COVID, not necessarily of COVID? That on average, 94% of those deaths, there were 2.5 other reasons for death. Not just when they say comorbidities, they don't mean they were also sick. That means their cause of death had multiple causes. It's as if you showed up to the hospital, you got tested positive for COVID, and then died of a massive heart attack, and that gets listed as a COVID death. It's crazy. Yet they expect us to trust them. They know what they're doing. But weren't these the same, or at least similar people that said thalidomide was safe until they found all these babies with birth defects? Ladies, are you going to trust the CDC when it comes to experimental drugs and using them in your body with your developing child? I don't know about you. I wouldn't trust them. See, that's, I guess, the point of today's show. We do all this trusting, but we never seem to verify. We simply accept what we're told and move on. And we never double check, we never question, we never look for facts and evidence. So-and-so said it. They're an expert. They must know. Why? Does being an expert give you supernatural intelligence? Does receiving a government paycheck make you imperfect, impossible of making mistakes? How did we get to the point where the people, the bureaucrats with government paychecks, are followed without question? How? I mean, I remember when I was a child back in the 60s and 70s, we were told, the chant was, don't trust the establishment. But now we're supposed to trust them without question. That's not freedom. That's not liberty. That's tyranny. And that is the road to despotism. Now, before I head off to break, I want to remind everyone to head to healthycell.com/outloud. You know, healthy cell vitamins are made to absorb into your body as best as possible, to feed your body at the cellular level. They help you feel better, perform better, sleep better. And they're all in an easy-to-take gel, no pills. Either take them directly or mix them in food or drink. And as an America Out Loud listener, you get 20% off your first order with HealthyCell.com. Just go to HealthyCell.com/OutLoud, and you'll get that 20% off automatically on your very first order.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
This is Dr. Peter McCullough. Do you know there's no other condition that I'm aware of where vitamins and supplements make such a big difference than COVID-19? We have an abundance of data that we need to be replete with a variety of micronutrients, and that includes vitamins, minerals, and other substances our bodies need. I rely on Healthy Cell Super Boost. That's Immune Super Boost. It's a gel pack that can be taken every day. I like to do it before I exercise and before I go out. It's a wonderful supplement. It gives me the Immune Super Boost that I need. Go to HealthyCell.com, use the promotional code OUTLOUD, and get a discount on your first order. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
While the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. We are here at the Constitution Study. We're reading and studying the Constitution. We're teaching the rising generation to be free. And today we're talking about trust. Who do you trust? Who can you trust? Why do you trust them? And do you ever bother verifying what they say? Now, I left off the first half talking about the CDC and their push to have pregnant women get the vaccine. Just trust them. It'll be fine. Forget about the thalidomide. Forget about the testing. Forget about the emergency use. You'll be fine. Just take it. Now, I want to talk to you about the CDC's recent pickup into gun violence. See, they simply declared that gun violence is a public health threat. I'm sorry, but to me, it seems more like a public crime threat. Seems like an issue with the people pulling the trigger, but you know, we need to trust the CDC, don't we? Yeah, the same CDC that Congress banned for many years from doing gun violence research because they were shown to be so biased. They were lying in their reports, so they got slapped. And now we're supposed to trust them. Oh, they'll be fine. No, they won't. They won't be fine. At least I have no reason to trust that they'd be fine. They have to prove to me that their reporting and their studies are accurate and based on science and data and not on political preferences. So when President Biden simply says, oh, gun violence is a public health epidemic, well, I pretty much know he's the liar in chief, so, you know. No, it's not a public health epidemic. Fewer people are dying from gun violence than they have in decades. It has started going up a little bit, but nothing like it was 20 and 30 years ago. And besides, is the problem the gun or the fact that you have people out there committing murder? No. Just trust them. Take away the guns from all the people who, the because trust them. They will take care of you. Government will provide for you. Government will watch out for you. Government will take care of everything you need. Government will keep you safe. Trust us. How many of you are laughing so hard you fell out of your chair? And then it's followed up with a new FBI report. In this report, this is the Bureau's Uniform Crime Report. And somebody was doing some research, they found something very interesting. See, last year, armed citizens, that's right, non-law enforcement, armed citizens, killed 343 criminals during the commission of a felony. Now, understand, we're not talking about, you know, an accidental shooting. We're not talking about unlawful. We're talking about a situation where an armed citizen defended themselves and others during the while somebody was committing a felony, and that person died. Now, this is a serious topic. Now, how many were killed by police? 298. So at least 343 people last year saved their life or the life of a loved one or a neighbor or a friend from a criminal in the commission of a felony. And they're the ones you want to take the guns away from. Oh, no, Paul, we just want to take away from the criminals. Then why is it you're always targeting the law-abiding citizen for this quote-unquote public health crisis? It's not the gun that's a public health crisis, ladies and gentlemen. It's the idiot behind the trigger. And then let's head back to the empire. Now, I've said before, a lot of people disagree with me, that term limits are not the problem, are not the solution, because just because you kick one idiot out of office, there's nothing to stop you getting another idiot. And boy, New York State has proved that one. So the current governor of the state of New York, Governor Hochul, said that people who won't be vaccinated are not listening to God. Now, first of all, I find this offensive because as a follower of God, I don't remember anywhere in Scripture the governor of the state of New York being placed in the position of high priest. All right? So she has her opinion. That's between her and God, not for me. But you know what? I find it... I find a lot of chutzpah in her claiming that people who disagree with her aren't listening to God. In fact, I find it chutzpah, let's say, on a biblical level. And she thinks if you don't get a vaccine, well, you're stupid. Yeah, she said, all of you, yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones. But, you know, there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. You know, I seem to remember God telling people to trust in him, not in medicine. Now, I'm not saying you distrust medicine, but I seem to remember God giving people, a conscience. And that we were to figure out for ourselves, not be dictated by some bureaucrat who happened to win an election. And then she went on to say, to the extent that there's leadership of different religious organizations that have spoken, and they have, and I'm not aware of any sanctioned religious exemption from any organized religion, well, it just proves, Ms. Hochul, that you're an idiot. You are an idiot. I know of plenty of religious organizations that are handing out exemptions all over the place. Oh, but you see, you're looking for organized religion. No, you're looking for bureaucratic religions. I understand now. This isn't a question of religion. This is at least a religion of the Bible. No. This is a question of religion of bureaucracy. You're a hypocrite. And you are the worst type of hypocrite because you're the hypocrite that thinks you know better than everyone else. You know, she went on and said, well, God made the smartest men and women, the scientists, the doctors, the researchers. He made them come up with a vaccine. Yes, God made them. There's not a question of that. The one thing I do know is that, well, they're men and women, which means they're not perfect. I guarantee you, read your Bible, Ms. Hochul, men and women aren't perfect. Just because you're a scientist or a doctor or a researcher doesn't make you perfect. Therefore, the vaccine cannot be perfect. It cannot. You are a political whore using religion to your own devices. And one day you'll stand before God and answer for that. You don't stand before me for it, but there is no way on God's green earth I would listen to a lady who has yet to quote a single scripture of the Bible saying that God said you should be vaccinated, yet claims that God told her? Is she a new prophet or something? Now, she thinks that you're stupid if you don't get the vaccine, because, of course, everyone's gotten lots of great information about the vaccine. Yeah, and then we find out that YouTube has instituted a new policy that's going to block all content that's against the vaccine. That's right. YouTube will block all anti-vaccine content. Now, how can you trust you're getting the right information if you're only allowed to hear one side of the story? If all you hear is the good about the vaccine and you never hear about the bad, if you only hear the pros and never the cons, how can you trust that you've got the information you need to make a rational decision? Are you going to trust Governor Hochul? Oh, well, she said I need it, or I'm stupid, so I better get the vaccine. Do you trust YouTube? By the way, if you follow the Constitution Study on YouTube, you may want to find another place, because I will point out the bad information. I will point out the cons of the vaccine. And if YouTube wants to censor me, that's their right. They own YouTube. They're more than allowed to. That's why I said you just need to find me other places. But how can you trust, if you only get one side, how can you trust you are making an informed, how can you have a conformed consent if they don't tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? You know, when you watch the commercials for medical products and they have that whole list of things that might happen to you, they're required by law to do that so that you have informed consent. When they give you that experimental injection, they're supposed to tell you both the pros and the cons, the possible risks, so that you have informed consent. YouTube does not want you to have informed consent. Do you trust YouTube? Because I can pretty much guarantee if YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, any of them, you are not getting all sides of the story equally. There is more than enough evidence that they are suppressing information that doesn't fit their political or worldview preferences. Do you trust them? Do you trust that YouTube is giving you all the news? No, they just admitted they're going to hide, they're going to block content that brings into question the vaccine. They didn't say they were going to block false content. No, they're just blocking anti-vaccine content. Remember, I was kicked off of Facebook, I believe, because I actually quoted from the Constitution how the president actually gets elected and what the legal ramifications of that are, how states and individuals should be dealing with the problems we had in the 2020 election. I'm not allowed on Facebook anymore because of it. How long before they do that to YouTube? Do you trust Facebook? Do you trust YouTube? Do you trust Twitter? I can pretty much guarantee they're manipulating the information you're getting. And don't forget, the report that service that Facebook has known for quite some time that the Instagram algorithm can cause mental issues for young people, especially young girls. Do you trust them? Why? Where's the verification? Where? Well, YouTube doesn't say there was a problem. Yeah, and YouTube is admitting they're blocking content. Why would you trust them? Why do so many Americans trust them? Could it be that they've gotten so used to hearing just one side of the story, they don't even consider the other side of the story? Or as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. See, if your blinders are on so tight, you only see one thing, how do you know the rest of the story? Well, for example, if you get your news primarily from the media, because, you know, we remember Walter Cronkite. Everybody used to trust Walter Cronkite. We got to trust them, don't you? You have evidence of the media, the corporate media, the corrupt corporate media, ignoring bad information about Antifa. You remember Antifa, that urban terrorist group? Oh, you can't call them terrorists. They're anti-fascists. No, they're fascist terrorists. You can call yourself whatever you want. They're fascist terrorists. There have been multiple instances of them brutally attacking Christians. Christians just praying. Or Christians attending a prayer group. A prayer and worship event in Portland. But that wasn't on the news. Why? Because they don't want you to have all the information either. They want you to think that Antifa is just a bunch of peaceful protesters. They are anti-fascists. They're the good guys. Do you trust the media? So I've told you I don't trust the media. If the media tells me the sky is blue, I'm going out to double check. But how many people simply trust what they're told? Or they read a headline and just spout that off, never checking the guts of the story. Do you know how often I read a headline and then when I get digging into the story, find out it says exactly the opposite? Why do we trust the media? Well, I don't trust the media. Why do some people trust the media? How often do you have to be lied to before before you stop paying attention to them? And here's the real kicker. So Antifa has not only been attacking Christians, they've been attacking journalists, members of the media, like Marani Staub, who was assaulted while covering an Antifa, quote-unquote, rally. She was thrown to the pavement, sprayed with mace, and assaulted on film by Antifa. Yeah, this is one of their own. Why is the media not covering this? Could it possibly be that the media is so biased, they don't even care about their own people? According to the Committee to Protect Journalists, and to a report they gave to Real Clear Investigations, since 2017, the U.S. Press Freedom Tracker has documented 517 journalists attacked during protests, 400 of those in 2020 alone. And the media doesn't report on this. Let me ask you, why do you trust them? See, that's the important part. The fact that they aren't reporting on this is one news story. But to me, the really important one is, why do you trust them? If they are not giving you the whole story, if they are intentionally masking the story, if they are intentionally supporting one side while denigrating the other, why do you trust them? How much evidence do you need they are lying to you? A lie of omission is still a lie. How much do you need before you stop trusting them? When will you start verifying the news reports, newspapers, magazines, television reports, things you read on the internet? When? I mean, just look at poor Andy Ngo. He is a son of Vietnamese immigrants, and he has been beaten. He's been almost killed reporting on what's been going on in some of the universities, at some of the BLM and Antifa, quote-unquote, rallies. And where's that in the news? Why do you trust them? Well, they said that Andy Ngo, did you find out for sure? Are these the same media people that said that President Trump had colluded with Russians when the evidence is actually it's the Democratic Party that colluded with the Russians? Is this the same media that squashed the story from the New York Post about the Hunter Biden's laptop until after the election? Are these the one you're trusting? Why? See, we do have freedom of the press. I'm not saying that we should dictate what the press can and cannot report. I'm not a Democrat, nor neither am I a fascist, totalitarian political wonk like Elizabeth Warren or so many others. But why do you trust them? You may say, well, I don't trust them. Okay, how many of your friends trust them? How many of your neighbors trust them? How many family members trust them? I have family members that, and it saddens me, because as much evidence as I bring to them and I show them, they still listen to the people lying to them rather than me. Now, I don't want them to listen to me just because I'm a family member. I'm bringing them data. I'm pointing out where my stuff, my information's coming from. But they still live in fear because the media told them to. Or take the New Yorker magazine. They're part of the media. They did an interview with an Andreas Malm. He's the author of How to Blow Up a Pipeline, the Adamaz podcast. He explained that it's time for the climate change movement to, quote, diversify its tactics, move away from an exclusive focus on polite, gentle, and perfectly peaceful civil disobedience. Now, he did stop short of recommending kidnapping oil workers, but he said that civil disobedience need to include intelligent sabotage. That's right. He wants people to blow up pipelines. This is what's getting promoted. Now understand. So we have Antifa. We have evidence of Antifa riots being downplaying their attacks on Christians and on journalists. Well, at the same time, we have a news magazine that is, or a magazine that's promoting the book, How to Blow Up a Pipeline. Do you trust these people? I'm still trying to figure out why. Now, I'm sure the vast majority of Americans trust these people because, well, they don't hear the other side. All they listen to is the mainstream media, the corporate media, the fake media, the Democratic publicity office. So they don't know any better. And that's sad. Because they've been trained that, well, you know, we just, you know, sit around, do what you're told, and don't worry about anything else. They're the ones that are blue-pilled. They simply accept what they're told. They don't look around. They don't check the facts. They listen to this media. They find out later they're lying, and they still listen to them. But my goal is still to provide fact-based information, to show the facts, the details, because that's how we defend our rights. But every so often, either the media or those who want to hide information from you, every so often they come up with something that is so blatantly stupid, it actually proves they're lying to you. This video went around Twitter, and it understand, it is an attempt to scare people away from traveling to Florida.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of your cabin crew, we'd like to inform you that we have officially entered Florida airspace. Now that we're making our final descent, please watch this short message from Governor Ron DeSantis on COVID-19. Thereafter, everyone on board will be required to comply with the state's forever purge.
We are not doing any vaccine passports in the state of Florida. We trust people to make their own decisions in this state. We are not going to be bludgeoning people with restrictions and mandates and lockdowns or any of that stuff.
As Governor DeSantis stated, while you're within state lines, you do not have to wear a mask. You do not have to get a vaccine. It is against the law for private businesses or schools to mandate masks or vaccines. And you have the absolute right to infect whoever you want, whenever, and wherever, with COVID-19. Thank you for traveling with us, and please, enjoy your forever purge.
Now, to me, this video, it's interesting. I'm listening to this audio for this video, and Of course, all the imagery is big and scary and nonsense, and I find it interesting. Governor DeSantis says, listen, we trust people to make intelligent decisions, to decide for themselves. So apparently whoever created this doesn't believe you're smart enough to make an intelligent decision. The narrator says, you know, you don't have to wear a mask. Didn't say that you can't wear a mask. Says you don't have to wear a mask. That you don't have to get a vaccine. Not that you can't get a vaccine, that you don't have to get a vaccine. And that businesses and government agencies and schools cannot force you to wear a mask. Now, the funny part I find out of this is you have the absolute right to infect whoever you want. Well, let's see. Scientific studies, controlled group studies show that masks do not stop the spread of a respiratory virus. So that's baloney. Tests of those of the virus load in vaccinated and unvaccinated show there's no difference in the viral load in your nasal passages, meaning you're just as likely to spread it if you've been vaccinated or not. But somehow, we're the scary idiots? Tell me, why do you trust people like that? See, the difference is that video is designed simply to scare you into compliance. I'm pointing out facts and data. Now, if someone can show me a control group study that shows that masks do restrict the spread of respiratory viruses, then I'd consider it. If the infection rate, the testing rate for COVID with those vaccinated were worth the risk of an experimental vaccine, I'd consider it. But you see, notice they didn't give you any facts and data. The video did show, there was some videos up there about how many people have died and how many people have been infected, and you know, absolutely no context. You know, they simply say that, you know, oh, people have died and, you know, people have been infected and, oh my God, be afraid, be very afraid. I love the way they call it the purge. This is not a purge. Notice what Governor DeSantis said. He trusts people. Right? He said they put up things like over 3 million infected. Well, yeah, how is that doing compared to you know, New York, Massachusetts, California? Again, over 50,000 dead. All right, so let's see. Let me do a little basic math here. That is a death rate of roughly 1.6-1.7% in the state with the oldest population in the nation. See, that's not data. It's not complete data. There's no context. It's there to scare you. It's scared to get you to trust those in government. Do what they say without any data to prove it. So I'm going to ask you again. Why do we trust these? Why do you trust these people? Like I said, I've given up. I haven't trusted the media for years. Why do people trust them? And now here's the bigger question. What are you going to do about it? See, the main reason I believe people trust them is because they haven't heard the rest of the story. They haven't heard the other side of the argument. They haven't had to compare scary numbers without context with actual contextual data. See, the last I heard, Florida generally is somewhere between number 10 and number 25 when it comes to infection rates. Now understand, in Florida, because of the heat and humidity, their respiratory virus season is summertime, not wintertime. See, nobody talked about the fact that in Florida, the infection rate was much lower during the winter, when people are outside more and people up north were indoors. See, there's no context. 50,000 people died. And that's tragic for 50,000 people, assuming that all those 50,000 died of COVID, not with COVID, in the oldest state population-wise in the union. So I believe people trust them because the news media, the social media, and now even politicians are doing everything they can to prevent the people from hearing contrarian views. The rest of the story, from asking the question about facts, data, evidence, science, they don't want you to hear that. They don't want your friends to hear it, your family to hear it, your neighbors to hear it. What are you doing about it? I'm having these wonderful discussions with people who are bringing all this up. And when I start pointing out facts and data and CDC reports, actual data from the CDC websites, they don't all change their mind. But many of them open their mind a little bit to say, well, maybe it's worth investigating. Sadly, there are a lot that they don't. They will not absorb that information. They will not consider that information. They've been told by their masters and their propagandists that this is the truth. They're slaves. And there's nothing that we can do to change their mind. All we can do is offer the truth. Back it up with facts, back it up with data, avoid the hysteria, avoid the hyperbole. Simple data and facts. I was at a college Q&A about a week or so ago. We had a wonderful discussion, and very often the questions came up, and when they were answered with facts and data and evidence, they were at least considered. So that's kind of my challenge to you. First step is inoculate yourself from the stupid. That's what reading the Constitution and going to the facts, the data, the original sources does. It's an inoculation. It warns your mind when questionable information shows up. Doesn't mean you shouldn't listen to it. Absolutely listen to it. But then go back to the source and see if it's true. And then when someone gives you bad information over and over and over again, stop trusting them. See, trust but verify means you take in the information and you verify it. But when someone keeps failing that verification, it's time to stop trusting them. Oh, I'm not saying you can't be their friend or you can't, have Thanksgiving dinner with them. What I'm saying is we can't simply trust what they say just because they say it, because the evidence that we're being lied to is voluminous. And the fault is not with the liar. They have their own faults. The fault's with the person listening to the lie. Now, all my shows typically go to podcast a day or two after the broadcast is heard on the radio. Listen on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart, basically anywhere you get podcasts. And if you do me a favor, go to Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and rate this show. And we'll see you here next time on the Constitution Study.
Paid bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.